Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening. We thank God for a wonderful Saturday. Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Gradually, the year is drawing to a close, and it's always a privilege to come your way. And I have two Saturdays tonight, and God willing, next week, and that is it for the year. And indeed, we have every reason to thank God for keeping us, bringing us this far. You know, sometimes we fail to show gratitude to God because we have our expectations, we have our demands, we have a list of things that we want or we had wanted God to do for us this year, and because those things have not been achieved or realized, we really don't see ourselves in a position worthy of thanking God for the other things He's done for us. And that is one big mistake sometimes Christians can make. And, you know, because gratitude is not based, shouldn't be based on our expectations. It should be based on we recognizing the fact that God has done something and we have a reason to be grateful and thank Him for it. You know, sometimes the wrong things or the bad things or the accidents or the unexpected things which didn't go our way and all that, God, let's see it as this way, that it could have been worse if not for God. You see, so in all these things we still have a reason to thank Him, because if not for God, the situation that you didn't expect to happen or the bad thing that happened and all could have been worse. So even in the negatives, even in the pain, even in the sorrow, we still have a reason that we can use to still thank God. Because you see, many, many, many people wish to see today, if we are going by just the sample average of daily mortality worldwide, we can go by 150,000 a day, people dying the whole world every day. And if you have to multiply 150,000 times this number of days in the year, there's a reason to say that, thank God, that you are not among the statistics of all these people that have died this year. You know, sometimes when maybe I go to a meeting at Confanoche, and a few times I go to a meeting there, and when I walk there and I see various cases, various people and all that, and you realize, see, until you go to a hospital and you see people's situations, you think, oh, it's your right to be alive, it's your right to be healthy, it's your right to be walking, it's your right to, you know, have all your body parts intact. But it's not our right. It's not our right. And these are the things sometimes we ignore. This evening, we should reflect on, or we are going to reflect on the goodness of the Lord and the fact that we have a reason to thank Him. But first, I'll be talking about the news, a few things in the news, and then we'll get into it, because you see, we have every reason to thank Him. It doesn't matter how the year has gone. It doesn't matter how things have failed this year, your expectations crashed, the things you wished that should have happened, perhaps none even happened. And it's like, ideally, you'd say the year has been a bad one and all that. But through it all, we still have a reason to thank God. the gift of life, life alone in itself is worth, I mean, far more than the things that you were expecting, because you see, if you have to place a value on life, there's no price to pay. There is no price to pay for the value of life that you have. The fact that you can breathe in and out freely without any machine, any help, assistance of oxygen being placed on your nose and all that, or your mouth to help you, aid you to breathe, that alone is a good thing to thank God for. The fact that your leg is not, I mean, tied to some device in the hospital bed and all that, the fact that you can walk, you can run, you can do, you can move, whatever, you can do anything in terms of body-wise, this evening as you listen to me, is ample evidence that you have to thank God. But first, let's get into some of the news, the things happening in the world, and then we get into the other parts of it. So, greetings to listeners from all over the world, different parts, outside Accra, outside Kumasi, sorry. And it's always a privilege to have you listening to this program. This week, it just escaped me to get the files up, but unfortunately, it's just this today that I was able to upload it to the spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group. Tonight, I'll do well to, this edition, get it up as soon as practicable. And so apologies for that delay. And you know, sometimes you just forget about some things, you know, the pressure of work and all that. And then so I got a reminder this earlier in the day from one of the listeners, Cynthia, and it's like, whoa, I still haven't uploaded this thing. So sorry for that. All right, let's get into the news. And we have police arrest 13-year-old who planned mass shooting at Ohio synagogue. 13-year-old planning mass shooting at Ohio synagogue. You know, the hatred for the Jews is something else. I mean, you see how the Bible can really say something centuries ago, and you are seeing it. The hatred. It's as if the fact that you are a Jew means you are not a human being. You can feel it when you watch the news, the protest and the anger being expressed. But you see, when it comes to the fact that even a 13-year-old boy can consider killing Jews because they are Jews, it shows the seriousness of this issue. That's, you know, this Hamas thing, and the way the West is gladly falling for this Hamas support, and people having the Hamas flag, some institutions are flying their flags in the US and all that, makes you wonder. It's like, do these people really even understand this whole thing? But you see, because it's like, we hate the Jews, we hate Israel. So it doesn't matter how bad Hamas is. Because we hate Israel, we just see Hamas as something that we can manage and we can accept, irrespective of their bad deeds. And you see, it's worrying how last week and this week, the call for, women groups to condemn what had happened in October 7th in terms of the sexual abuse against the girls and the women and all that, and it's as if it doesn't matter and they don't matter and it's not an issue, to the fact that some in the Western media, the liberal media, some even calling the sexual attacks against the Jews, the Israelis, the ladies, the women and girls, that it's even not true. It's ridiculous because You see all these reports and people still even denying the fact that, something has happened. You just wonder, so how are these people really thinking through this? People see, you see crimes being committed, evidence, video recordings and all, and people are still saying that, it didn't happen and Israel even acted these things. Come on. That's ridiculous. We have Christian mother of five released on bail after 19 months in Nigerian prison. This is Northern Nigeria by all means. And after being in prison for over 500 days in Nigeria, a Christian mother of five has been released on bail and awaits a trial that could land her up to 5 years more behind bars if she is found guilty of blasphemy. Devout Christian Nigerian believer Rhoda Jatao is reportedly safe after spending 19 months in prison, according to ADF International. She is currently in an undisclosed location while she awaits trial for allegedly sharing a video that condemned the lynching of Christian college student Deborah Emmanuel Yakubu, which critics called blasphemous. I mean, so her crime was to sharing a video that condemned the lynching of a Christian college student. And this happened, I think, 2 years or so ago, or less. And I mean, that video was despicable. I mean, this Christian girl is stoned, beaten by his mates to death, and a video condemning it. This woman shares it and she's arrested for an offense. I mean, come on. So Yakubu was a college student who attended the university in the northwestern Sokoto state, who was falsely accused of blaspheming Islam after she posted a message on social media thanking Jesus for helping her pass an exam. Following her post, the college student was targeted, set on fire, and murdered by classmates for sharing her Christian faith. I mean, how, you see, that video, that news, right, that whole attack against that lady, it was something, because if your classmates, I mean, this is a diff, I mean, if you are attacked by a mob in just a normal, let's say, marketplace, unknown, people don't know you, who don't know you, just attacking you for whatever reason, mob action, that's a different case. But when your classmates, the people you sit in class with, can gang up against you to kill you, something else. Then to Mauritania, where you have Christian leaders arrested amid Muslim outrage over baptism video. So authorities in Mauritania have arrested 15 Christian leaders since late November, following calls for punishment by a Muslim outraged over a video showing a baptism ceremony, sources said. The families of 14 of the Christian leaders were also arrested, according to aid and advocacy group International Christian Concern. The charges against the Christians were unclear. There is no law against evangelism in Mauritania, but officials nonetheless forbid non-Muslims from proselytizing and ban any public expression of faith except Islam, according to the U.S. State Department's most recent 2022 International Religious Freedom Report. Apostasy or leaving Islam is punishable by death in the Northwest African country, where population is 98% Sunni Muslim, 1% Sharia Muslim, and the constitution designates Islam as the sole religion of the citizenry and state. At least three of the Christians were initially arrested on or shortly before November 30th in Celibabi, more than 600 kilometers south of the capital city of Nouakchott, according to Spanish news service EFE. The arrest stemmed from protests calling for Christians to be killed after a video of baptism ceremony appeared on social media, according to ICC and the Christian leaders in the region. Tragically, this hostility has extended beyond the arrested individuals, affecting their families who are now facing harassment from their neighbors, ICC reported on Wednesday. The Mauritanian government finds itself in a delicate position, torn between commitment to human rights reforms and greater religious freedom, asserting the arrests were made to protect citizens and other radical Islamic elements. Then you have Mauritanian officials believe the arrests were necessary to address the Christian problem, quote unquote Christian problem, in the country, as the video raised awareness of the presence of Christianity in the area, according to ICC. It's interesting. A Christian leader in Mauritania told CDI that area that area protesting Muslims on December 2nd called for the homes of Christians to be burned. According to the Muslims, half of the population in the village has become believers. He said they want to stop the progression of the gospel in this closed land. The police arrested six leaders in the beginning, but after checking the phone of the leader, the police found names, and they are after the name they found on that phone. Wow. Mauritania's 2018 amendment to Penal Code Article 306 states that any Muslim who explicitly apostatizes from Islam, or who says or does anything or something that would require or include that, or who renounces that he knows to be required by the religion, shall be imprisoned for 3 years. No, sorry, 3 days, during which time he will be asked to repent. If he does not repent, he will be sentenced to death for blasphemy, and this and his property will be transferred to the treasury of the Muslims. So this is Mauritania for you. Then to the US, where you have street evangelists making progress after being shot whilst preaching. And that's a miracle in itself. A Christian evangelist who was shot in the head whilst preaching on an Arizona street is making progress as he remains hospitalized, his wife has said. Zulia Schmidt, the wife of Hans Schmidt, took to social media this week to tell supporters that her husband is working hard daily in his recovery after being shot on November 15 while street preaching before a Wednesday night service at Victory Chapel First Phoenix. The fact is he's been here is a miracle itself. Hans is fighting and working really hard every day, she stated in a Facebook post. Your prayers are not in vain. God is working behind the scenes and is using all this for his glory. Hans is making progress. We have a long road ahead, but he will gladly take it. God is good. Please continue to pray for us. And, you know, I mean, this is one of the hatred things I'm talking about, where, you know, this is in the U.S., preaching on the streets, and someone out of hatred just shoots the head. I mean, that means shooting to kill. But God delivered, and we just pray that he will sail through. To the UK, where you have Church of England votes to formally commend prayers of blessing for same-sex couples. It's no longer a church. It's finished. The Church of England's House of Bishops voted Tuesday to formally commend prayers of blessing for same-sex couples to be used in services beginning next Sunday. I see. By a vote of 24 to 11, the bishops affirmed their previous decision to approve the final text of prayers of love and faith for use in regular public worship or private prayer, according to a press release. The texts were also published with pastoral guidance explaining how they can be used, and the House of Bishops also claimed that it would consider a pastoral provision to protect the conscience of those who wish to use their prayers and those who do not. The move from the House of Bishops follows two general synod debates on the topic in February and November. The General Synod voted last month to proceed with trial blessing services for same-sex couples. We know not everyone in the Church of England agrees on these important questions, which go to the heart of who we are, about people's lives, their love, and our shared faith, said Bishop of Leicester, Martin Snow, who chairs the group overseeing the prayers implementation. This is reflected in the House of Bishops, where there remain different views on the best ways to proceed, he continued. These prayers are offered as pastoral provision. It is our prayer that they can be used with grace and understanding, sharing them with a blessing to the whole church. The House of Bishops' willingness to open the door to blessings for same-sex couples has drawn condemnation from Orthodox Anglicans worldwide, with some warning it would fracture the global Anglican communion. Sorry. In a statement known as the Kigali Commitment released in April, delegates with the Conservative Global Anglican Future Conference, GAFCON, rejected the Church of England's decision to allow clergy to bless same-sex couples and also repudiated the spiritual authority of any Anglican denomination that embraces homosexuality. The commitment accused Church of England authorities of repeated departures from the authority of God's word. And that's very, very unfortunate. I mean, when the church gets to this stage, then you know that the glory has departed, the spirit is no longer at play, because, I mean, how do you justify this vis-a-vis the word of God? I mean, how then do you say that God approves this? Clearly, it's a human system that is being worked on, and the church no longer belongs to God. It's just a human institution, no spiritual aspect of it connected to God, because this is gone too far. I mean, obvious, Church of England. You know, for those who have listened to this program for some time, in the last few years, I mean, several news, I mean, you can see the church declining over the period, and looks like this is one of the final straws, perhaps. I mean, because it's the way it's going, so the rest of Anglican churches will just be split, and then because they just won't support this view, especially the African group, they are completely averse to this one. All right, so we have this one, this news that says that real-time AI analysis could fulfill prophecy. So Google has launched Gemini, a new artificial intelligence system that can seemingly understand and talk intelligently about almost any kind of prompts, pictures, text, speech, music, and much more. But the real breakthrough coming soon may be the real analysis, and it could have problem or prophetic implications. You know, Elon Musk has been making some statements about it. The fact that, like, AI can help a future global dictator to control the world. And, you know, the way AI is going. This evening, I read one article where it talks of AI giving birth to AI, where no human intervention and AI creating its own new AI. So it's like giving birth technically and without human intervention. Scientists are getting worried. And it's like, I mean, when I read these things, I ask myself, so why start in the first place? Why start a problem? And now when the problem is beginning to get out of hand, you are worried about the problem. But it's, you started it in the first place. You know, and the conditions, the things that AI is coming up with, I mean, I talked about it sometime on this program. And last week I read about the news where it's being used to create, you know, taking innocent people's pictures and then infusing it into these applications to create videos, adult videos with innocent people's faces, and using it to blackmail and threaten and do all sorts of things. You know, it's just getting worse and worse. But, you know, these are the times, evil days, evil imaginations, inventors of evil things, as the Bible puts it. And we are seeing these inventions coming up and more to come up, because now it looks like it's the floodgates have been opened. All sorts of inventions that human beings can imagine just coming up. Do anything you think you can do, do whatever you think is right. And it's now that some countries, the EU and US, are talking about AI regulations and all that. But you see, some of these regulations, people will still do their own thing, because despite the regulations, the laws and all that, we have black markets, we have the online, we have what we call the dark web. The dark web is the other side of the internet. The average person is not using it, because you can't use even our normal browsers, the Chrome, Firefox, Opera, to open the dark web. You need a special, you know, application altogether to be on the dark web. And the dark web is where, you know, do all the bad things. You can hire an assassin to kill someone, the trading, you know, black market things, and contraband goods, guns are sold. All these things are happening on the internet. But see, so AI, they may bring the regulations, but the dark web aspect of it, like the way we have the dark web, the normal internet is there, but the dark web is there. That's how AI will still have the dark part of it, where people will still be doing the bad things, you know. I mean, bad people always find a way out. You know, we have laws, but you still have criminals undercover doing their deals. You know, there are places where they still go and buy their drugs and do their deals, buy things illegally. And so, in as much as regulations may come, I still believe the bad will still continue and they will still do the evil with their deeds. You know, we have to be aware about some of these things, because you see, the world is evolving really fast, really, really, really fast. We may not be seeing some of these consequences here, you know, in the short term, like Ghana, I mean, but the way the world is moving, at least people being aware about some of these things, is good to know what is happening in the world and the future ahead, because sometimes people are very ignorant about what's happening in the world, completely have no idea. But that's why I talk about some of these things, so that people can understand some of the dangers ahead and what technology is bringing, some things which eventually the bad guys will be using. And some believe, you know, all these things will make it easier for the Antichrist system to, you know, really be globalized, because with one system, you know, a lot of things can be controlled and monitored, your privacy restricted and all that. And it's more effective, as you know, automation is taking over and making gains. And you know, my brother, the one I come after, sometimes jokingly says, you know, you can easily bribe human beings, you can bribe people and they can have mercy on you, but when an AI robot catches you for doing something, forget about any bribe, because there's no feeling. It's not a human being, there's no feeling. It doesn't know you as a classmate and my grandfather's what friend and cousin. No, macho, that's it. So that's the world we are in, and that's where we are headed. All right, so we get to this interesting title that says the persistent two-state solution likely to be forced on Israel in 2024. And, you know, tension is really rising between the U.S. president and Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, because, you know, Biden has been pro-Israel in this war and all that, the statements and all. And it's beginning to affect his support base in some states in the U.S., you know, concerning his re-election and all. And people are really angry, you know, as I talking, the West is largely, the citizens are largely anti-Israel, seeing it in the protests and all. So the leader is supporting Israel, but the citizenry, you have some that are not in support, and his support base among the Muslims and some of the blacks is eroding because of his support for Israel, and is now putting pressure on Biden to start, you know, putting pressure on Israel as well. And that's exactly what they are doing, to, you know, the control things, the ceasefire and controlling, you know, the killing of the Palestinians. All sorts of pressure is really mounting, but one big pressure that would be bearing on Israel will be agreeing. So the US is doubling down on its insistence of, I mean, that Gaza must be run by a revamped Palestinian Authority. The Americans are still obsessed with a two-state solution to the conflict between Israel and the Palestinian Arabs. This week, U.S. President Joe Biden told the White House, the Hanukkah reception, that there has to be a Palestinian state in the future, and that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu needs to make an effort to strengthen, change, and move the PA, Palestinian Authority. Netanyahu reported that Israel would permit neither Hamas nor the PA to rule Gaza. Israel, he said, would not repeat the mistakes of Oslo, a reference to the 1993 Oslo Accords between Israel and the terrorist Palestinian Liberation Organization, under which controls Gaza and parts of the disputed territories of Judea and Samaria. were handed over to the newly created PA. The previous day, Netanyahu had caused outrage by stating that the Oslo Accords caused as many deaths as the October 7th Hamas massacre, though over a longer period. His enemies immediately claimed that the comparison was invidious and that he was seeking to shrug off any blame for Israel's vulnerability to the Hamas attacks, and that he was already campaigning to win the general election that may assume that will follow the war. So whether or not such criticisms are well founded, they are irrelevant to the key points at the issue. Given the PA control Gaza and establishing a PA state or Palestine state would expose much more of Israel to the atrocities similar to those that took place on October 7th in the West. The idea that the Palestinian Authority would suddenly turn into a reliable guarantor of peaceful coexistence with the Jewish state is for the birds. Currently, Israel is locked in a desperate struggle in Judea and Samaria to control and contain the huge spike in terrorism by Hamas and other armed groups, which have vastly expanded in scope and weaponry under PA administration. You know, it's very interesting when you read some of these news and you read names like Judea and Samaria, and then, you know, you are told that these places don't belong to the Israelites. It belongs to the Arabs. I mean, it's you know, you read Judea, you read Samaria, you read all these names, Gaza, and all, and you read history. And I'm not talking even the Bible, history. And you are told that this land is not for the Israelites. No, this world is something, because it's just too obvious. It's just too obvious. Who really, really is the stranger on this land? Israel is not the stranger on this land. The land of Israel itself, by history and by biblical reference and all, is much bigger than what they are even occupying today. But then, you know, the world, as I've been saying, is anti-God, anti-Bible, and everything Jews is hated. So the fact that they know, I mean, they know, the Arabs know, all the UN, they know the real issues that the land belongs to Israel. They know it. I mean, they just pretend and make it look like, Israel is rather the imposter, and Israel is the occupier, and Israel is whatever they call. But the truth is they know it, but they hate Israel. The reason being that the association of Israel to God, the God factor, the Jesus factor, you see that linkage with Christianity. You know, Christianity is an offshoot of, you know, this whole Judaism thing, because it's like, you know, Christ, I mean, Jesus was a Jew and all. So they hate God and anything God. So this whole thing, we are in a modern world. Why do we even need God? Why do we even think there's a God? Why should we even believe there's a God? So if we still have a country that has an affiliation and association and relationship with God, the world just can't accept that. It's like, we've progressed. We are in an AI world, in a modernized world. So what is this God thing in national affairs? And this is what they can't accept, that God gave them this land. So it's like, no. Yeah, you are imposters, so we'll take it from you, we'll force you to divide it. And, you know, this issue of the two-state solution, where dividing Jerusalem for the East Jerusalem to be occupied by the Palestinians and then the West is taken by the Israelis, is interesting. I mean, some years back, I did a read-up reports on this program, where all in recent times, whenever countries force Israel to, they should get back to the two-state solution, divide the land, they suffer consequences. And it was very interesting reading that. I'll check if I can find it in my archives. But interesting, like countries, Japan and various countries, US, suffered, some of the massive, very destructive hurricanes happened after they put pressure on Israel at one point in time to divide or to get back to the table, negotiating table. And soon after those pressures were mounted, the land of the countries that are pushing, they suffer something catastrophic. And it's like, wow, if they will even learn, you know. This week, for those on my broadcast list, I shared this link of the Turkish parliamentarian who was busy criticizing Israel and criticizing the Turkish government's posture so far, you know, being calm and all about Israel and all towards the war. And then still delivering his speech, he falls down, gets a heart attack, eventually dies in the hospital. You know, and one friend sent me that, you see, people, they will look at it and say that, oh, it's normal. But you see, this is a clear warning. But you see, people would associate it as, oh, it's a normal, natural event. So, but it's just, these are signals that if people would be wise and learn, you know, where to draw the line in attacking Israel and criticizing and all that. But well, the world will not learn and people would not learn. All right, so this is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and I'll be back after this break.
Toils and tests, the worst and best, never left alone. You see, always right beside me, he hears me when I pray. And since I first began, you've been my dearest friend. We give you all the praise. So we come to meet promise to say thanks. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we do. Your loving presence makes me strong. See, each and every moment, and each and every day, I'm gonna sing and shout to let the rocks cry. I give you all the praise. We're gonna say, we're gonna say, Lord.
Yeah.
We came for one purpose.
Jesus Christ, with a grateful mind, give thanks because he's given.
All right, so welcome back. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life, and we have every reason to thank God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, it didn't say some things, it didn't say most things, it didn't say a few things, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But you know, let's look at this episode of the lepers who in Luke 17 met Jesus. You know, as he entered Luke 17:12, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then 16:17 says, and fell down onto his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That's the one who came back to thank him. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? This evening, the question is simple. Are you the one leper coming back to thank God for the year, whatever is done to you? I mean, done for you. You may not have realized some things, but upon reflecting, you realize you still have a reason to thank God. Or you'll be among the 9 who are ungrateful. Even though God has done a lot for you, you still don't think he deserves to be thanked. You know, and sometimes, unconsciously, we become ungrateful because, as I said earlier when I started the program, our expectations are bigger. So maybe you are expecting to have a certain type of something, and what you have is not up to your standard, quote unquote, your standard, what you wanted. So you think, well, even though God did something, it didn't meet your needs, it didn't meet your expectations. So, well, you really, really, really are not too grateful to even thank him. You know, these are the mistakes we can make as Christians. But this evening, you know, let's reflect on the fact that it's not about the things we wanted or the things we needed that we got, or we didn't get, or we didn't get as much as we wanted or expected, but the fact that, one, you are still alive. Two, if you are listening to this program and this station, most assuredly I can assume that you are still in the faith. And, you know, these two things are very critical for you as a believer. If you are still alive, of course, I mean, that's the most important thing. If you are not alive, you can't even still be a believer. So you have the life in you, the breath in you, you can still live and breathe and whatever, and you are still a Christian, still believing in Christ. You've not fallen away. Perhaps, well, you may be on the verge of leaving the faith, or you giving up, disappointed and all that. But even that, slow down, reflect on what God has done for you. If really it warrants that you turn your back and leave the faith, you know, We sometimes ignore what God does, and we think, oh, we are measuring up with some other people somewhere else, and this person, even he is not a serious Christian, and he's not even a non-believer, and this good things are happening to him. Me, I'm a believer, I go to church, I pay tithe, I do this, I do that, I'm helping in God's work, and still things are not working out for me. You know, sometimes we do this analysis and we think God is not being fair to us. We think God is not being so faithful to us. So we hold our thanksgiving and we just grudgingly behave and pretend to be like the 9 lepers. But this evening, I want you to have a change of heart and change of mind and realize that if you are counting on material things to really thank God, then you are making a mistake. Because you see, the very big things that God blesses us with, eyes cannot see, and we cannot even measure it. Because you see, the number of times you've slept this year in the night, the things that happened, you didn't have an idea. The protection God gave you, you have no idea. The battles that angels fought on your behalf whilst you were deep in slumber, you have no idea. The deliverance on the highways and in the byways, in traveling. You see, there are some things that we don't see. If we are to see, they'll realize that no, we have every reason to thank God every minute even of our lives. Because the accidents that God delivered you from, well, it didn't happen. So you just think, well, you're a good driver or just nothing happened. So you just don't have a reason to thank God. But he saved you from something that could have been fatal. But because it didn't happen, you have no idea. But if he used to show you a screen, a video, a recording, a spiritual way of knowing, oh, this should have happened this day, I would stop you from. Even when things don't go away or things cross our paths, that even spoils our day, quote unquote, makes our day whatever we don't expect, and we still have. See, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, because even the ugly and the bad things which we think were ugly and bad, perhaps were saving us from even a more fatal something. Imagine someone who God just causes a child to break something, so causes that parent to delay from going to work and all that, insults the child, beats the child, is angry and all that, I'm late. But for all you know, if you had gone on time, a tipper truck ran over you and you would have died. But because it didn't happen, you don't even know, so you are not even aware of, oh, this happened, so let me thank God for it. Is it that's why? So when the Bible says in everything give thanks, it's not everything that we know, but we should by faith now have a reason to say in everything, in thanking God for everything, is everything, the unknown and the known. You see, this is the reason why, even if the physical and material things that you expected didn't come through, you still have a valid and a genuine reason and legitimate reason to still thank God for even the unknown things and the unseen things. Because for all you know, those ones are even more weightier than the material and physical things you were expecting. Oh yes. See, we have every reason to thank him. So many times he delivered us on several. If he's to show you all the spiritual battles, that angels were fighting for you and you were delivered and all that, you'd have been amazed. Now, wow, all these battles were being fought on my behalf when you were not aware. The things which could have killed you should have killed you. You know, all the people who died this year died from whatever reasons, but it will amaze you to know that even the things you perhaps struggle with or suffer from and all that, those same things have killed others and you are still alive. So if you say there's no reason to thank God, no, you are wrong, because the same thing that didn't kill you killed others. Malaria, we trivialize some things. Oh, malaria, you just take some, medicine B and you'll be fine. But talk to medical experts, doctors, nurses, and people still die from malaria. This year, people have still died from malaria. See, the small things which you think is nothing is still killing people. So, you see, we will say it, oh, this one, you took malaria drug or you took a certain medicine. And so we sometimes think, is that medicine that has saved us? It's not God. It's that medicine. So we put our hope in the elements that are around us that we used. And we think that is what saved us. You know, someone would think that, he was able to step on the brake and the accident was averted. So because his car is good, his braking system is, automated braking system, you justify it with all the goodies. Oh, yes. So it's like you're a good driver, experienced driver and all that. So that is what saved you. No. You see,
Sometimes, if God is opening your eyes, you realize that an angel was between you and that car. And that's what stopped it. Not your break. No, not your break. You know, this year, middle of the year, some months ago, I was driving from, on the audio side coming, and a car stopped in front of me, so I also stopped. Obviously, I have to stop. It was making a U-turn suddenly, but then this heavy truck loaded with, wood was coming, and it's like he was stepping on the brake. But you know that it's like, these big trucks, you step on the brake and it's not instant, of course. So the braking distance. So even though he stepped on the brake, he was still coming. And I can see it in the mirror that the car is coming, the truck is coming. But there's a car in front of me, so what do you do? Well, but thank God, you see, this truck is big, huge. It hits and it's like, well, I just got out of the car, go and look at the back. And at that instant, I know that, you see, looking at this truck with the wood in it and the impact of this on my car, I have a reason to thank God, because clearly it should have been worse than what it is. So, interestingly, this driver, the other driver, is like, later on when he paid for, most of the payments, like for the fixing of the, but he said something, and he kept saying it. He's surprised as to how I'm calm about it, and I wasn't angry with him and at him, and he's really surprised that. And so, you see, I knew the reason why. There's no need to react, because I know that it must be God. Because that's the only obvious reason to justify why such a big truck will hit a car and the impact will be as it was. It must be God. You see, so when we begin to see things like that in our lives, we'll realize that we'll begin to see the signature of God on a lot of things in our lives which hitherto we may not be paying attention to. So that's one good reason why we should be the type of Christians who give thanks to God for everything. And it's one good habit to adopt and to practice and to learn. It doesn't matter. So people would not understand you. They would think you are a fool, quote unquote. And but this guy there, everybody has written the exam, they pass, you alone, you failed, you are still thanking God. How do you thank God in a failed exam? Somebody won't just understand it. But you see, God, who knows tomorrow, knows why some things happen. Oh yes, some people, sometimes God just allows some things just to stop you from getting into a certain situation. And the only way to stop you is to cause something unpleasant to happen in your life. That's the only way you can be stopped. So, yes, he stops you that way. You will not understand it after spending these countless times, these monies, this. And still, so you may easily blame God for not helping you. You may easily blame God for failing you again. But one day, see, that's the beauty of this whole thing. Down the line, later down the time, when you look back, then you will be able to connect the dots and realize that, oh, this was God. That was God. This was God. That was God. You see, so we shouldn't wait to be in the future before we look back and now appreciate it. God, it's okay. So when I was failing this exam, God had a plan for me. Don't get there before you now look back and say, oh, okay, I now understand. Let's learn to understand what 5:18 in everything give thanks. Everything is everything, without exception. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. You, so we, this is not something that we negotiate. In everything give thanks. It may not be pleasant, but give thanks. We look back in the course of the year, it may not have been as you expected, as you wanted, and all that. Perhaps it's been a sorrowful year and all that. But in everything, give thanks. You see, when we adopt this lifestyle, it will give us a better understanding an appreciation of who God is and what he does in our lives. Because oftentimes we fail to see his signature behind a lot of things. We fail because we are expecting, we have our own criteria and we have our own set of rules. So even when God does it, we don't see it. But let's diffuse that mindset and begin to see the signature of God in every little thing that happens in our lives. And when we have that sense of gratitude, it makes God see us in a different light, in a different way. Because being grateful to God has its own spiritual, positive spiritual implications. And it's in our own interest when we show gratitude to him. And I believe let's be part of the one leper that went back, and God will bless us. So this evening, I'm ending it here. Let's get back to having slaughter. God bless you this evening, and I believe God, next week I'll come your way. This is recorded. It will be on the website spiritissues.info and the Telegram group. Good night. I'm Eben. God bless you.
Toils and tests, the worst and best, never left alone. See.